Researchers at UW-Madison are testing lab-made retinal cells in a long-term effort to treat vision loss. They've just released new findings published this month in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that show they've overcome a big hurdle in that process. Dr. David Gamm is UW-Madison ophthalmology professor, a pediatric ophthalmologist, and director of the McPherson Eye Research Institute. Dr. Gamm, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with a key character here, these retinal cells. You're working on making some. What's going on?
So this is work that we started about 15 years ago, building off of stem cell technology that was originally founded here at UW-Madison through Jamie Thompson's work. We use a type of pluripotent stem cell known as iPS cells, or induced pluripotent stem cells, which are derived from either skin cells or blood cells from individuals. And we developed a method and patented it here through the university direct those cells to retinal tissue. So very small tissues about the size of a large pinhead that have all the different cell types that are found in a human retina. And then the question became from there, what can we do with that?
And let's talk about that before we get into kind of the multi-step process. What are your hopes for these skin cells turned stem cells turned retinal cells?
It's twofold. So there's a lot we can do with these structures in the laboratory. So we can use them to learn more about why people go blind from retinal diseases, and then to develop pharmacologic therapies or gene therapies to try to protect those retinas before they degenerate and people lose vision. But if we're too late for that, if somebody is later on in their disease, they've already undergone substantial cell death in their retina, then really the only place that they can turn is to try to replace those cells. And our central nervous system, our brain and our retina can't do that on its own. And so having these small structures provides a source of spare parts. And we've spent the last 10 years showing that these spare parts are very authentic. So they can do the complex jobs of our rods and cones and photoreceptors that we have in our own eye. And then the next hurdle became installation. So if we can make the spare parts, can we get them to where they're needed? And if we do so, do they have a chance of hooking up to the cells that still remain?
And that's this this newest research published just this month. You've got these retinal cells. They appear to be doing the jobs of retinal cells. Do they play well with others? Can you share some of those findings in this new report?
It's a great way to say, you know, can they play in the sandbox with everybody else? And that's an important point, because these are fresh, brand new, right out of the wrapper, healthy cells that we're trying to put into a diseased environment in a much older individual. And so it has to do a couple of things. So the neurons in the retina, like in the brain, have to reach out or form what are called axons or cables or wires, touch the neighbors that they need to interact with, and then kind of shake hands with them or form what are called synapses. And so we've shown that the cells are authentic. We've shown that they can extend their arm to shake hands. But to this point, prior to the study, no one had really shown that they have the capability of actually making those synaptic connections. And that's what this study showed, was that they can do this. Now, whether or not they'll be able to do it in an actual patient, we don't know yet, and won't know until we start clinical trials.
Now, the science here is interesting. The way you showed that they established a connection, if I'm reading this right, this is something you couldn't do in a patient. You could do it in a test tube, in a petri dish. You used rabies?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that are scary on paper that we use as tools, very mm-hmm. powerful tools in the laboratory. So we commandeer some of the nasty things that various viruses and other things do to us. We cripple the bad parts of those tools and utilize the useful parts. And so in this case, rabies likes to travel through our nervous system. It jumps from one neuron to another across synapses. That's a bad thing when it's a virulent rabies from getting bit by a rabid raccoon. But if you cripple the ability for it to travel too far or to create disease and just retain its ability to jump across a synapse, and you combine that with a tag or a label that turns the cells that are sharing that synapse different colors, then you have a really powerful way of rigorously determining that two cells have connected to one another and shook hands.
Okay, we've passed yet another hurdle here in these retinal cells. What does it take now to get from here to we're trying these in people to see if they can actually help reverse some of this vision loss, to reverse the progress of these diseases?
Well, a lot of steps, and thankfully we're through a lot of them. So it's one thing to be able to do it in a laboratory. It's another thing to be able to grow these same retinal structures and extract the cell types necessary to treat patients in large scale, in a system that's safe and sterile. And that required a combined effort between my laboratory and two Madison-based companies, Opsis Therapeutics and Fujifilm Cellular Dynamics International, who are both located here in Madison. And over the course of the past 5 years, we've gotten that cell manufacture part down so that we can make billions of these cells in a safe manner. We then have to test them, and then we have to go ahead and develop a clinical trial. And to do that, we've also partnered with two other companies, Blue Rock Therapeutics in Boston and Bayer AG in Germany. So this really is an international effort that's centered right here in Madison. And we'll hopefully seek to start recruiting patients in the next couple of years, assuming that everything goes well with the FDA and we obtain approval.
In just our last few moments, I want to ask about the other thread you mentioned earlier. You've got these retinal cells. The hope is we can use them in patients, but also you mentioned we could be testing therapeutics using these retinal cells as stand-ins. Is that something that's happening right now?
Yeah, and we have probably about half of our efforts in my laboratory are directed towards that type of activity where there's a lot of causes of blindness that we don't even understand. Children or adults lose vision for various reasons. And unless we know why they lost vision, it's very hard to develop effective therapeutics. And so we can study those people's retinas in a dish just by taking a skin sample from them. And then we can grow unlimited quantities of their retina, try to understand what went wrong in the first place or what's going wrong if they're early in the course of the disease, and then develop therapeutics that are tailored to those individuals. It's something that's very expensive right now and it's in its infancy, but like anything else, as the technology grows, it'll become more mainstream. And I think will lead to a lot of breakthroughs to help people before they need cell replacement, which is our ultimate goal, because it's better to keep what you've got than to replace what you've lost.
Dr. Gamm, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Dr. David Gamm, UW-Madison ophthalmology professor, pediatric ophthalmologist, and director of the McPherson Eye Research Institute. He shared some new research on the effort to create retinal cells that can be used as a treatment for vision loss down the road.